Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What up, what up, what up, though? Ball Hawk Show.
I won't deny it, I'm a straight rider. You don't wanna give up me. Got the police watching at me, but they can't do nothing to me.
What up, 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 though? Hold on, let's get right into it. Yeah, shout out to my dog Tupac, man, my goat. Ambitious as a rider right there, because we gotta talk about some things in this episode. We gotta get right to it. You know, we're recapping Virginia versus Maryland that took place on Friday. And Sunday, when y'all gonna be listening to this, because I had to take some time and really review the game tapes and take some notes, because I understand when a team doesn't have a win, how it's very easy to just say different things. It really is, because we're so frustrated. We're emotionally invested. And when emotions surface, you go off the cuff and you just really just spew things. And in today's day and age, you have social media that's involved, and a lot of the things that you share are documented on this footprint, you know, of the web, and people save what you say, you know, and they'll use it as a weapon. So you got to be careful. So we're going to address a lot of things that were said, and Petty Hawk want to be really petty, but I don't want to be petty. Ball Hawk just want to talk about the game, right? Really break down what happened, what didn't happen, and what needs to happen for the Virginia Cavaliers to get their first win of the season. Right now, their head coach is 3-10 in his career as a head coach here at the University of Virginia. Last year, he was 3-7. This year, he started off this campaign to 2023 at 0-3. And a lot of people before the season had UVA being 0 wins, 3 losses at this point of the season. So if you had UVA with 0 wins and 3 losses at this point in the season, can you really be up in, I guess you could always be up in arms. But I guess I want to ask you guys, because there's a lot of folks, and the theme of this podcast is mostly going to be discussing the offense, because I think what's frustrating me is that I see some improvements from last year to this year, from the first game to the third game, that a lot of people don't want to give the offensive coordinator credit, because they don't favor, first of all, they don't really care for the offensive coordinator. And I'm saying some. I'm not saying all of Wahoo Nation. I'm saying some. Don't really favor his scheme and how it looked last year, so they don't want to give him a chance this year. And secondly, Petty Hawk is like, why y'all just holding one coordinator accountable? Because the one that you that really showed out last year and was on top of the world last year, and rightfully so, and did it and still doing a heck of a job, because I'm going to get into that as well. Because people love to use numbers. By the numbers, Petty Hawk is like, you know, guilt by association, right? If you fussing at me, why ain't you fussing at them? That's the kind of approach it is. It's like, all right, if you guys saying you just being honest and you just call it like you see it, why aren't you seeing everybody? It seems like you are honed in on just one side of the ball and one person or one subject versus discussing everything, because I sit back and I wait and see if those same people talk about things that should be talked about. And again, not knocking anybody. It's just, I always pay attention to the theme. So before we get started, man, welcome to the Ball Hawk Show podcast. Your first time listening to the podcast and you enjoyed that intro right there and how we really going to break down this game, especially recaps. Make sure you subscribe. Appreciate you for tapping in on Believe Network. If you listen to this on also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and other major podcast platforms, I definitely appreciate you. And shout out to my man, BJ. BJ, I'm still working on trying to make the recaps in the video version, because I'm still trying to come up with a way to where, or find the time. I take that back. Find the time to really record and edit the plays that I'm talking about, so you guys can get the visual version on my YouTube channel, the Ball Hawk Show podcast. So I'm still working on that, BJ. I just got to find some time. And my son plays travel soccer, so when the games are over, we traveling. I'm watching film on my iPad or my phone, and I'm taking notes like that. So I'm trying to multitask, but trying to be attentive because, yo, you know, my son got his own journey. Then when track starting, we're getting ready for track season. So we don't, we're getting ready for that. All right, I'm rambling. Shout out to the sponsors, Abra Insurance. Go to Abra Insurance for all your insurance needs. That's home, business, auto, life insurance. The great people at Abra. So, trying to think, should I talk about defense? I know everybody's here for offense. I know y'all are. We could discuss the defense quickly because, you know, a lot of times, man, like I tell you, I love to watch movies. I love to watch TV shows. And when they leave that cliffhanger, you want to get right to the cliffhanger. And also, I'm going to be answering questions from the X app because I put up a tweet for folks sharing their questions. So I'm going to get into that as well. So here's the thing, man. I'll go over some notes as far as stats, just like at a glance. You know what I'm saying? Like the score. If you didn't know, UVA lost by a score of 42-14. And when you look at the score, you just be like, "Dang, Maryland beat the hell out of UVA. They didn't stand a chance." But if you watch the game, you saw it basically came down to the first possession of the fourth quarter, and then the game was broken open after that. So numbers without context is very dangerous. And even me saying the score of the game is a true illustration of numbers without context, because again, you could win by one and say you beat somebody down. So saying somebody won 42-14, you say, "Oh, they beat them down," and you can't really argue it. But when you look at the game and you saw it was 21-14, we driving, we get into the red zone, and you know, we turn the ball over, then they march down and they score. Then we turn the ball over again, they march down and score. Then we turn the ball over again. Now you get the theme. And the game broke open. But this was a very competitive game, which saw UVA jump out to a 14-0 lead, have all the momentum. And for the second straight damn game, the second game in a row, we give up a special teams touchdown. What in the hell is going on? We gotta fix that, man. Because so those are points you don't account. Like, as fans, like, we don't account for special teams. Like, Joe Reed not here no more. When Joe Reed was here, we was like, "Yeah, hey, this the game. We know we're going to get a special team touchdown this game." But that's something that's a backbreaker. And their special teams touchdown, the kickoff return, came at a point to where we jumped out on 14-0, and was almost like you had them like, "Oh, man, how we down?" And then, boom. They responded and take the momentum all the way back. Think about that. When they scored after that kickoff return, I think we went 3-and-out. Let me make sure. We might have went 3-and-out after that. Touchdown, touchdown. Yep, we went 3-and-out. Yep. When they scored on that kickoff return, we went 3-and-out. I mean, they got the ball back and they didn't score, but still, it just took the momentum. Took the momentum from us. But let's see. Let's jump right into some stats at a glance, if we could, just like total offense. We had 354 yards of total offense. They have 464, and you know, this year, and this leave me with the defense. Like, this year, defensively, we've been giving up. Like, I don't mind the yards because I understand the philosophy. Like, it's like bend, don't break. Keep everything in front. Bow up in the red zone because it's all about points given up. And that's what we're struggling this year is points given up. I mean, we've given up. I mean, I just share with you. It's not good. 49 points to Tennessee, 36 points to James Madison, and 42 points to Maryland. That's not good. Their total offense, they had 461 yards of total offense. And this year, I believe, we're giving up 451 yards a game. We're giving up 451 a game. Last year, I think we gave up, through 10 games, 357 last year. So we're giving up basically 100 more yards a game. And how many times did people score over 35 versus us last year? If I could just look at that, give you, you know, the difference. Last year, we gave up 30 points four times. Duke, not LSU, Louisville, North Carolina, and then Pitt. And then Pitt, you got to take two of those touchdowns away because two of those was pick sixes. Louisville gained, was any defensive touchdowns? No. Duke gained, was any special teams? The Duke game? But, so, I basically say three games we gave up. Well, I guess you got to do the same thing for JMU. So, if you take away the touchdown that JMU got on the block punt, that's less than 30 points. But you still got 30 points versus Maryland if you take away the kickoff return as the defense gave up. But, yeah, so here's the thing that I see with the defense, man. Here's the notes I got. I like how we came out versus Maryland. Maryland, a very high-power offense. Hold on, let me get some background music. My bad. Let's see. All right, let's get some background. So here's the thing with our defense, man. Overall, I like how we came out. We got a nice 3-0 start to start the game. We were using various twists to run games up front. So when I say games, that means the four D linemen are twisting. Somebody's twisting, whether it's the two D tackles replacing each other in their path, or you got the D tackle on the defensive end replacing himself. That's what I mean by when I say running games up front. Tagovailoa also missed some throws as well, but that's a part of the game, right? Like, you make the quarterback clock increase, bad footwork, or just ill-advised throws, I'm good with that. I will say the one thing I noticed this game is just we lose contain when we rush the passer. Like, we'll have a free rusher, and instead of attacking the upfield shoulder of the quarterback, we're going to the near, like, his near shoulder, which is his front shoulder. You want to go to his back shoulder. So if it's a right quarterback and he's in the pocket and he's square, you want to go to his right shoulder. You don't want him to be able to Tony Romo. Remember, Tony Romo was known to spin back, like spin out of the pocket. He would spin to the blind side, meaning he'll go to the right versus going to where he's facing. Well, his spin to his right shoulder. That'd make him go left. My bad. You get what I'm saying. So a lot of times we be blitzing from the blind side, and instead of going to the right shoulder, our path is going to the left shoulder. That allows the quarterback to reverse pivot out and hit break containment. Cause I feel like if you go to the upfield shoulder, he has to at least try to climb the pocket, and then you can retrace your steps and now use it. First of all, if he climbs the pocket, you have a backer that sees him immediately and is going to come straight. Now he's going to be confronted. And you still are coming on his left shoulder. He has to make a decision. Now, that's just me. You know, I ain't no defensive lineman. So, you know, I like to be respectful. But I will say that the biggest difference to me, like this game, I felt like our linebackers were more aggressive at the point of attack. I really felt like you guys, you saw the ball. You seeked out the ball. You went to go hit the ball. We still have some missed tackles at the point of attack. That it was like their first touchdown. It was man on man. We had our linebacker did a very good job of deciphering what his keys was telling him. He shot downhill, just didn't make the tackle. It would have been at least a no gain or a 1 yard gain, but it wouldn't have been a touchdown. And if I'm not mistaken, was that a third down? Let's see. I don't know what down. I apologize. Somebody calling me on the phone. If I could get that script. Let me see. The first touchdown was on. Maryland's drive. No huddle. I'm trying to figure out if it was on third down or. Oh, no. I'm looking at the kickoff return. The one I couldn't find. That's the wrong script. Yeah, it was third and goal. So it was third and goal. Hembley scored 3 yards. Yeah. So I feel like we could have possibly forced a fourth down to see if they was going to go for it. I do like what we do in the red zone as far as our coverage, though. A lot of times, and I had a chance to watch the TV copy. Yeah, so I took time, even though the game was Friday, and, you know, usually I'll drop a recap the following day. I took the time to not only watch the coach's film, I also took the time to watch actually the TV copy because I wanted to see, like, what was being said about the team and things like that. And I wish I would have remembered the brother's name that was doing the color commentary, but he made a great point about how we run double three technique a lot on third downs. I think with the second series, they had a third and six, and we ran a double three technique. If y'all don't know what double three technique is, so the defensive tackles, a lot of times you have a numbering system, and if you consider a one technique, you're inside the guards. You're inside shoulder of the guard or the outside shoulder of the center on one of the sides. That's considered a one technique in some defenses. And if you're in a three technique, you're on the outside shoulder of the guard. So if you looked at four down linemen, a lot of times, depending on the strength of the defense, the strength has the three technique. You have the three shade. You're shaded on the outside shoulder of the guard if that's the strength side of your defense. If it's an under, you may flip it and put the three technique and the boundary and the one technique on your strength call. Just depends on the defensive scheme and your front and how you call it. But anyway, sometimes when we feel like, if it's a passing down, or we never know, we might be running a game. Like, you could be double three technique because you're running a game and you know you got your end looping in. Well, this time we ran double three technique, meaning both defensive tackles are outside shoulder of the guards. So if you could view right now, if you take a piece of paper and you draw a box, put an X in the middle of it. That's your center. Two circles on each side of that box with the X in it is your guards. Then you put two more circles outside those two circles. Those are your tackles. All right. Now, if you took a T and put it on the outside shade of those first two circles beside the square with the X, that's outside three. You see how much room it is to just get up the middle of the field? If you just drew it on a piece of paper right now, that's the risk you run if somebody can identify and you don't run a game or you don't run an A-dog. Like, you don't have your backer blitzing through the A-gap, or you don't have a defensive end looping in into the A-gap. If you just run contain, and I think on that down and distance, we were thinking about containing Tagovailoa and trapping him in the box and making him step up to the linebacker. If he does, you know, try to escape, we maybe had that mindset. Because, again, got too much respect for Coach Rudd and saw what he did last year to just think, you know, man, he just running that and giving up, y'all. Because I know a lot of times people say, man, he's just giving them the first down. But I just try to get into the mindset of the coordinator and say, maybe that's why they called that. And looking at the play and looking at the snap and how we attacked, we were anticipating quick game. So we was going to contain Tagovailoa, be a little bit aggressive on the outside, and then have our linebackers be prepared to step up in the pocket. If that makes sense to y'all. And Maryland hit the call, ran an inside power, and got the first down. You know, sometimes you got to give things up. Sometimes the opposing offense or the opposing defense, they hit the call. So, but overall, man, defensively, I thought we did well in that first half. Here's my main thing, man. I could get right to it because it ain't too much deep. Like, even though we gave up a lot of yards, a lot of points on the defensive side of the ball, we just going to have the discussion right now. And I'm going to tell you guys the difference between this year and last year after three games, in my opinion, moving forward. This is my opinion. And because it falls into the line of something that I played, so I feel more comfortable discussing it. And we're talking about defensive backs. The biggest difference. And this is not just Coach Rudd. This is even the past regime when everybody was going at Bronco and his defensive staff. You see a common theme in a sense of how sometimes you don't think a position is important, but it can really mess with your philosophy and how you go about attacking opposing offenses. We got to get better. What I'll put it like this. We got to get more consistent out of the corner position. We do. And I like I ain't talking about Cohen King. I like Cohen. I know what he's going to bring to the table. You know what I'm saying? It was no different than when we had Devontae and we had Nick and people used to go at them. I know what they brought to, like, when you know what somebody brings to the table and you understand that at the end of the day, I still feel like I'm going to be better if that dude is on the, like, Cohen may not be everybody's favorite DB or prototypical DB or, oh, you think you're going to the league type thing. No, but I know one thing. That joker going to give me what I need. I could trust him. You feel what I'm saying? But here's what I want to say about the DBs that y'all, I know y'all can fix tomorrow. You can fix what I'm about to say tomorrow. Anytime we playing short zone, some type of cover two, this what y'all got to stop doing this. You, in my opinion, y'all be leaving y'all safeties out to dry. I told you versus JMU how we left Sanker out to dry on that sell route, on that first third down they had coming out of the delay. When they ran, they had two receivers and one dude ran a corner and the other dude ran a hitch and our corner just stayed with the hitch and Sanker was left out to dry for the sell route. We still do that. Now, Maryland didn't hit him this game, but it's still there. And that's bothering me. Why do we take the bait so much in our short zone? Why don't we play deep to short? Make them throw the short one. Rally up and is that what it is? Y'all don't want to tackle in space? Maybe I just found a culprit. You gotta do better. I will say this. Even when we play short zone, I was looking at my homie 2-3, my homie Cal. If you ever see tight twins and you the short zone guy and you know you got the short flat or the short zone, a speed out should not outflank you. Like, you should make that quarterback not be able to throw that speed out that quick. That's just my opinion. I feel like you just needed more sense of urgency. That was play four. My notes was Kyle got to get to that flat now. Just seems to not be moving with the sense of urgency. And it gave up a big game because when he caught it, you couldn't catch him from behind to make the tackle. I just felt like you snap the ball, get the help, get out of there, get to your drop. It's a tight twins. You got them boxed in. Yeah, you can look at the quarterback, but you got to have that feel. Like, you know when a receiver coming off the line of scrimmage and it's a damn pass play. You know receivers don't come off the ball hard. Whoa. When it's a run play. You know they ain't got that sense of urgency. They ain't really doing that unless they coach really well. I think our receivers come off fairly fast doing run plays, but they ain't no receivers. You see what I did there? Yeah, I had to, you know what I'm saying, give us a shout out. But let me see some other notes I got for the DBs. Play seven man-to-man. Malcolm, you were one-on-one. Dude ran a post. It was incomplete, but I felt like you just stayed square a little too late. And when you throw that jab out there, that stab, when you're trying to stab a receiver, you put it out there like it was an airbag, like you was trying to protect yourself. Now, I need you to put it out there like you saying, get out the club, back up off me. Hey, you looking at my old lady type of push. What you say about my mama type push? Felt like you were just like, oh, wait, don't run past me. Nah, I need you to really, because you're aggressive. You're an aggressive dude. I need that same, you know what I'm saying? Like when you be hitting folks, when you come down to hit them, I need that, Malcolm, at all times. They did get you with a hitch and go, though, Malcolm. We got to talk about that. They got you with that hitch and go. Here's what you want to do if to protect yourself from a hitch and go. And shout out to Jalen Ramsey because he's the master at this on the NFL level. You got a midline, or you got to make sure it's a part of the body that you are breaking to, that if it's a double move, no matter what, you got a beam on it. So if you playing off man and you in your pedal, you stand square, and they drop their hips like they about to run a hitch route or a stop route, and you coming downhill because you feel like you got a great break, you got a midline, either the middle of the shoulder pad or the outside shoulder. But it don't try to take the undercut route, because if you undercut, that's when you get beat. And only time you can really undercut if you already had an opportunity to break down and make a tackle. Like, this is always my philosophy. I ain't trying to undercut no hitch or no out the first time out. I'm breaking on demand just to make sure I can time it right. But this is too straight, and this is not you, because last week 13 gave up the hitch and go. Teams hitch and go on us, and they seeing that we peak when we break. That's all that is. If teams coming out and it's like a thing, we're going to hitch and go on, they know your break is undercut. You're undercutting when you're breaking. So I want to say, like, that's the biggest difference I see defensively for us this year and last year is the cornerback play. And again, I'm not casting no aspersions on you guys. I'm just sharing my assessment to the fans, because they like, yo, we can't get no pressure. Like, why aren't we bringing pressure? And I'm like, our bookends are different this year. Last year, we had two All-ACC bookends. That's a luxury. So you can, at times, just say, you know what? We bringing them. And even when those guys played cover two last year, shout out to Anthony Johnson, Gucci man. Remember the Illinois game? That was cover two. He baited the quarterback into throwing that go route, because he understood, released by number two, I'm taking number one away. And he dropped back and he picked it off. He didn't just say, I'm good, I got short zone. No, he went and looked for work. And I'm not saying these guys do that. I'm just saying you really got to tap into schematically all you can do within each coverage that's called versus each formation and route combination. Like, we really got to get in our bag and take away the threat, and then rally to the least threat, if that makes sense. I just lost my train of thought, but yeah, man. But that can improve. That could definitely improve. I felt like, you know, guys played the ball better when they were in position. I saw Cal. We was in another cover two, and he got moved to the safety, and they ran the go route, the same route that I think we got hit by Tennessee with that. And the guy dropped it, and they ran the same thing, and he was there this time, and he played the ball well. So I show y'all, you know what I'm saying? I show the homies love when they do what they supposed to do. I just ain't out here looking for hot takes and trying to just the young kings. No, that ain't me. I'm just trying to provide some jewels. Also, I saw they played my dog Six. I saw they played Dre Walker late in the game last week too. I like that. I think he gonna be a good corner, man. I think he's gonna be a good corner. Continue to get reps. He almost had you a pick, man. I like that y'all are passing things off in the red zone. You learned your lesson from last week. I will say that. I notice when people and coaches make changes, they adjust. Coach adjusted. We see that you running a lot of slants with corner routes in the red zone. Why not combo? Hey, check the short zone. And even the color commentary guy said, Maryland was surprised that UVA ran a zone down here. Teams usually don't run zone down here. Yeah, we just comboing. Why I'm going to chase you in there when he just going to come out here? We could just stay where we at. Stay home. That's it. I love that. That's why I went and watched the TV copy. I just wanted to see when adjustments was truly made, if the person working the game, and it's usually a former player in the color commentary spot, if they pick up on the adjustments that's made, and maybe a fan can hear that even they are telling you, hey, an adjustment is made, since folks always claim that when we lose, no adjustments was made. You can still, look, you can lose while making adjustments. You really can. It's possible. Both things can be true. Now, let's get to the offense. All right. Shout out to Coach Rudd, man. And the defensive guys, y'all keep pressing. Shout out to Sanker, man. I think Jonas might be top in the ACC, or I know he leading all DBs and tackles. Salute to that young man. We just got to get healthy on defense. I know Lex Long was out. Ben Smiley was out. Shout out to Cam Butler. If y'all didn't see, what was the second sack that Cam Butler had? Cam Butler dove at Tagovailoa, missed, got up, and chased him down and got the sack. Shout out. I just wanted to give Cam Butler some love. Shout out to you. Shout out to the Juggernaut. The Juggernaut is a beast, man. Man, if you ain't never watched Carter playing that one technique, I know I was just breaking down the techniques, the one technique and the three techniques and all that. If y'all ain't paid attention to Jameer Carter, because I know a lot of people just follow the ball, take some time sometimes, man, and just watch Jameer Carter just work. Because he usually getting double teamed all day, every day, and he got a motor, and he's strong as hell. I also want to give out shout out to Famui and also Coach Rudd. So one time Maryland had us on a slip screen to the running back, and we ran a game where we had a twist, and Famui ran his game and got the stop because he was the only dude that could stop that slip screen. And that lets you know sometimes as a coordinator, you hit the call. We hit the call because we ran a game and they was running a slip screen, and Famui individually did his thing and stopped that slip screen because it was going for big yards. I also want to give other people a shout out. I got notes right here. Sorry if it's like a little pause, but shout out to Sparks, man. Sparks got in number 38. He made some plays. What was it? Play 25. Yeah, he stood strong on the end, made a play. Yeah, that's all I got for the defense, man. Just you got to keep plugging along. Keep plugging along. You shut down their running back. Hemby, though, when he, you know, I featured him coming to the game, Roman Hemby was averaging over 100 yards a game. He had 164 last game. We held them to 23 yards. So we held Hemby to 23 yards. We held Littleton the second to 28 yards. Then they had another guy come in, McDonald, though. He had 75 yards, and one of those was a 35-yard gain. But the two, like, we essentially, man, defense, you did a very good job, man. I ain't lying to you. You did a very good job. For three quarters, you did a very good job. That's why, again, numbers without context. You did a very good job. When they got that pick in the end zone, they drove the length of the field, got the touchdown, and then if a sudden change again, it's demoralizing for your defense. Football is the ultimate team sport, and coach always talks about complementary football. So if you turn the football over and then, you know, your defense hasn't generated a turnover all year, you're not complementing each other very well, and you could wear each other out. You really can. If your defense has been on the field, it was no different than last week when JMU went 80 yards. It was like, even though we was moving the ball passing, you was like, man, why are they trying to run? It's like they trying to make sure this defense getting that proper time to adjust, because sudden change is real. It's a reason why when a defense generates a turnover, an offense takes a shot, usually the first play, because it's called sudden change. It's like they're getting their bearings back. So just say, I'll give you a prime example. Nah, I couldn't give you an example. But anyway, yeah, so let's get to the offense, man, because that's 30 minutes for the defense. Corners, man, get better on your zones. Oh, well, that's going to be one of the questions, because we're going to talk about DBs more, because people had a lot of questions about DBs in my question bag section. All right, man, let's get to the offense right now. We don't need no music for the offense. We're taking the music away so y'all can hear me clear. I don't want no discrepancies. I don't want nobody. Let me see something right quick. Let me make sure our offensive game film is up. All right. I ain't going through all 75 plays. I'm not. But I got plays circled. I could definitely go over our first couple plays. The very first play of the game, 12 personnel, one back, two tight ends. The same formation we saw the last two drives versus JMU. It gives you the run-pass feel. Defense has to be alert for run or pass versus 12 personnel. Maryland comes out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 man front, two linebackers. Maryland runs a, they run a 3-3-5. So they got 5 men at the line of scrimmage. We got 7 at the line of scrimmage. They got 7 in the box. We got 7 in the box. Anyway, run the play. It's a flea flicker. We got, if did y'all see my Red Diamond coffee and tea morning brew when I talked about how Maryland ran an inside zone fake with the orbit motion, and if the safety peeking, they leaking on the backside. We got done with that. With the flea flicker, number 12, their safety in the box was peeking. And number 3, the corner. Why are you as a corner trying to trigger on a running back getting inside zone so fast? Man, we are paid to cover. You better cover. But he didn't. And we got the uh-oh. And it was a nice, safe throw by AC. I say nice and safe because if you that wide open, you better not overthrow him. So AC did a good job of just get it to him. Malachi's open too on the other side. Both of them wide open. But Washington is like, he could have put a lawn chair out. He was that open. And AC just threw it long enough to get it to him. Now, and last year, if that would have been completed, we would still been nervous. Like, damn, that's a big game, but are we going to score in the red zone? I know y'all had that. Y'all probably ain't had that thinking. But Petty Hawk was like, man, that's a great play. But can we finish in the red zone? Because that means we're going to have to what? We're going to have to run the ball. Right? Can we run the ball? So we go to play 2. Fast forward. Will we line up in play 2? We still in 12 personnel. But this time, instead of having 2 tight ends, we got Sackett Wood as one of the split backs. Ooh, look at the variation. Man, I like this. You got a tight end as a lead blocker, just like Maryland do. And I was like, man, we need to use our tight ends as lead blockers. Look at you go. We got a zone to the boundary. Nice run play. Nice run play. Nice pickup. See it again from the backside view that y'all can't see, but I can describe to y'all. And shout out to Ty Furness. He got switched to guard. I think, Ty, you played your best game as a Wahoo, bro. I know you have some false starts and some handsy flags, but as far as blocking, you did a good job. Yeah. You did a good job, brother. So we made the switch. So, because we had Stevens at center, Ty Furness at right guard. We switched those two guys. And this was their best performance as an offensive line this year. Like, this was a very, very, very solid performance by them. Because this defense is actually really good. And they got some good size up front. They was getting a nice, good push, especially on this touchdown pad, this touchdown run right here. Play 3. We go to 11 personnel. We got 3 receipts. We got trips to the field. We got Eli Wood split all the way on the numbers. Got Malachi in the slot. Is that Malachi in the slot? Who is that? Oh, yeah, yeah. Why did I think Malik look like he was Malik looked like Dontavian right there? I was like, that Dontavian Wicks right there, but that's Malik. And we ran cutback. So it was like a little misdirection when you hand the ball. But it's designed to go backside. So the end came up the field. Moley did a good job of washing the end up the field. Everybody was solid, man-on-man blocking. I'm talking about solid. Boom, hat on hat, hold. Hat, hold. So Flo looks like it's going to the field. So you got the backside linebacker coming to the A gap versus stepping up in the B. So that Flo causes him to really be misled. Boley does a good job of just washing the end upfield. And then P. Jones, with his explosiveness, does a very good job of putting his foot into the ground and getting to that backside C gap. This is blocked well. And shout out to Sackett Wood, man, because that end tried to trigger inside of him. two games ago, they would have made that play in the backfield. But Sackey does a good job of stepping down and really getting a push and just doing enough so that end can get to Jones. Great execution right here. Great play call because the flow and the optics had the linebacker, the one unblocked guy, one unaccounted for guy, because nobody's accounted for that backside backer. I mean, we could tandem block and get to him, but if that backer stays in that backside C, nobody's getting to him because we're tandem blocking, but that defensive tackle steps to our guard. He's in a one technique, but he steps to our guard. We want a tandem block. We would like for that tackle to step towards the center. That way, our left guard can get up to that backside linebacker. But since that D tackle steps to the guard, there's no way you could tandem block. That linebacker would have been free. But the play design calls the linebacker to go to the field. And we cut back to that C gap. So, good scripted play right there. Because the first 10 plays are usually scripted. You go, like, you watch it on the film, like, yeah, we're going to hit it with this. You know, it's like, I'm going to hit you all my pickup lines. That's why, you know, the first 10 to 14 plays, you like, all right, let's see what's going to happen. Like, they don't have a bead on you just yet. You could get fancy. So we got the second drive after we get a stop. We are in 11 personnel. We just use a little short motion. We got Grant coming from the boundary to the field. We got, we in 12 personnel because Sackey Wood is actually down here as a split end. So that's another variation. When the last time you see the tight end lined up as a split X to the boundary? People say Kitchens do the same stuff. I'm just trying to help you guys understand. Amen. You can run the same thing out of various formations. That don't mean it's the same thing. Because a lot of times they say a good offensive coordinator could do the same things but make it look different. Let's keep going, though. Let's keep cooking. Love this play design right here. So this is a QB dash. So what we do right here is, let me go to the end zone copy so I can better explain to y'all. So we got the back. Offset to the boundary, right behind the left guard. Pre-snap motion, we got Grant going from the backside to the front side. So now he's to the front side, offset, off the line of scrimmage. So he's like an H. So what we do is we tell our quarterback, Calandra, to set up initially. We got Kobe Pace running towards the front side end. Looking like he's going to chip, but he's going out for a pass. You tell Calandra to go 1,001, get the path of the end to come towards you, and then you dash right outside of them, and then you throw it to the back. And the back catches in the flow, and you try to freeze that front side linebacker with Calandra just standing 1,001, and then it looks like he's trying to escape, but he's just trying to move to get the ball to Kobe, and that was a good play call. I like that play call. Kobe's a very good pass-catching running back. And that should have been a damn targeting when he got hit last game, too. I don't know what the heck these folks be looking at sometimes. Even that Travis Hunter thing, that safety and stuff, that was a terrible hit. If y'all watched that Colorado State game. All right, now we come out. 11 personnel. We have a trips to the boundary, a triangle trips. We got Malachi at the point. Eli Wood is to the boundary. He's the receiver outside of him. Then you got Malik Washington inside. Little triangle action. It's usually an inside zone. Yep, a lot of teams running. I felt like Kobe might have missed the crease that was to the field. It was third and short, and I think he was just so preoccupied as just going forward and getting the first down that he might have missed the crease that was to the field. And the crease was between Boley created another seam in a C-gap. I really think he was just concentrating on just getting the first down. If he were more patient and he would just look to his left, he had a big seam, and the backer was already getting butted by Ty Furness, who did a tandem block Very good tandem block by our center and our guard. Very good. I mean, that's a great, that was good work by them two. Now, I want to tell y'all something that y'all can't see. We're driving off the football. This grouping right here is driving off the football. I ain't seen that. They driving. Salute to you, man. As much as flack y'all been taking, salute to y'all. You got to sell it, man. Give him a round of applause. Uh-oh. Hold on. I got to give him a round of applause. Oh, my God. Get the sounds right. Here we go. Give him a round of applause. Then we get a 3rd-and-1. We put Mike Hollins in the game. We're in 12 personnel with tight split. Basically, the formation we ran the first play of the game, we ran the flea flicker. Ooh, cross block action. I like this. I ain't seen this. Nice cross block action. We got Grant coming with a cross block from the field. Ooh, look at Grant. Bow. Okay. I like this. Nice drive. Nice drive. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that offensive line coming off the ball. Come on, boom. Mm-hmm. Just give me some. It's 3rd-and-short. Mike, good job. Mike does a good job. Always does a very good job of getting skinny. Like, when you look at all our backs, this is my opinion on our running backs. I feel like P is the most explosive. I feel like Kobe is the most dynamic, right? And I feel like Mike is just the best. He's the best all-around back. Mike could do everything. Mike can be explosive. Mike could be dynamic. And Mike could pass pro better. Like, it's certain areas that they're better than the other in. And I feel like Mike is closer to the person who's the best. Like, if you say somebody is this, I think Kobe might be more explosive than Mike after P. But you get what I'm saying. I feel like Mike is, like, he can give you everything. Like, it's no big drop-off compared to the other two. If I just had to compare all of them, you know what I'm saying? So, and it's not that I don't want to like a lot of times comparisons make you tear down one to elevate the other. I'm not trying to do that, but that's why you see like the rotations you see with our backs. It just depends on, and again, is I ain't even gonna say that cause I'm not saying that anyway, cause I might would've gave somebody else like a way to see things and So we get the first down, go to play 7. Let's hurry this along. It's getting a little long-winded. We come on a trips with 11 personnel. We got trips to the field. So the new first down, that was a procedure call. I think that we left early. I think who left early? Ty did. Ty left early. So that's play 7. Then play 8. Play 8, we got 2 backs. So we're getting 20 personnel. 2 backs, no tight ends, 3 receivers. Look at this in the end zone view for y'all. So we got Kobe and PJ and P. Jones in. We send Kobe in motion to the field, keep P. Jones in. Run inside zone to the boundary. Nice pickup. Setting something up, showing him because the end couldn't crash down. He had to be held by Calandria. He's an unaccounted for, the unblocked guy, and he ends up making the tackle after we get about 3 or 4 yards. And that linebacker number 1, Barnham's a good backer. He did a good job of flowing to the C and then coming back to the B, making a play. That was a good individual effort by him. So that was nice. But I like the play call right there because that's going to set up something later that we ran that was successful. That same formation, that 20 personnel, 2 backs in the backfield, it sets up a big play later. Play 9. We're in 12 personnel, but we got both tight ends on the same side. We got Grant and Sackett. Sackett is the H. We just run sell concept to the smash concept to the field, not sell. We got a hitch by Malachi and a sell route by Malik. Malachi catches the hitch, does a lot, gets a big game. That's play nine. Let's look at the pass pro. You got Mike Hollins in the game. He checks out Nana. He chips and goes out. Ty Furness, one-on-one, does a good job. The center, very good job. Good snap, too. Then we got two-on-one to the front side end. 77 looking for work. He actually comes back in and helps the center. So good, great protection. Very clean pocket. No pressure at all. Versus four. Don't matter if people just sending four. We couldn't even block four. And so we're going to give them praise when they block four. When we got five. Or six because you got the back. So we got the same formation. I mean, we don't have the same formation. We're going back to 20 personnel. Two backs, no tight ends. That we ran two plays ago. We got the same action again. This time, instead of sending the back in motion, we keep both in. Play fake to P. Jones. And we run flood. Got Mike Hollins in the near flat because he was the offset back to the left. He came underneath the formation. So instead of going motion, we kept him in the backfield. We ran inside zone action to the boundary. Mike sneaks out going the opposite direction. You got flow from the end because he has to read to make sure Calandry gives the ball out. Calandry's quick enough. He gets outside. The backer can't trigger because Mike Hollins is going out for a pass, so he has to check Mike. We catch them in a short zone. But with the run pass option for Calandry, he holds the short guy that allows the deep out to get behind the short guy because the corner has to go with the go route. Receiver does a good job of getting out a stand in the vision of the field side corner so he can't hit Malik Washington in the mouth. He ended up hitting him late, but if that receiver goes outside and attacks the butt of the corner, he can now see that it's a speed out and he could possibly come down and pick it off. So that's executed at a high level by everybody. Then we can look at the offensive line. Let's look at the protection. Let's just see what they do. They ain't have to protect because the scheme took the protection away from them. So that was a great, great play design right there. Now, that was play 10, and I get to the touchdown, which was a very good play design. The throwback. So we've been giving you inside. We are in 11 personnel. 11 personnel, we've ran inside zone to the boundary. They've seen that. We ran that. We got 4 or 5 yards off of it. So now we're giving you the same action. We got three receivers. We got, I think that's Twitty to the boundary. I want to say Malik is in the slot. And you got Eli to the field. So we fake the zone to the boundary, but they don't see that we. So with the play fake, we pull our right guard. We pull Ty Furness. So it's looking like we really selling out for a sprint out to the field, but we're leaking the back to the boundary. You want to know a similar play to this? If you go, everybody talk about the 98 game versus Virginia Tech, this is similar with Thomas Jones coming out of the backfield, that touchdown pass he caught in the end zone when Aaron got hit. It was a wheel route by the running back coming out the backfield. The same little action. Not as sophisticated with guys pulling like in today's game, but getting your running back on the end who's paying attention to flow because you got a pulling guard and he's going to really look at that first. And we've never shown. And we caught them triggering. We caught them in a cat blitz. They sent the backside corner. So we hit the call. They had nobody to cover that because the linebacker's outflanked by the running back right now. And great throw by Calandry because he got hit. The guy that hits Calandria, is that the corner? Oh, no, that's the end. No, that's the, yeah, that's, so the, they triggered the linebacker and they triggered the corner. And Calandria did a good job of just doing what? Throwing it up so you could catch it versus trying to lead. That was a great play. So that was the first two touchdown drives. I just showing you various looks from Dez Kitchen and how creative he can be, how he can set things up. So as the game went on, and I just go to my notes. As the game went on, Here we go. As the game went on, so I've been sharing with you guys the our personnel groupings, you know, 12 personnel, 11 personnel, 12 personnel, 11, 12, 11, 20 personnel, 12 personnel, 20 personnel. And it's got it written down, 21 personnel, 12, 20, 11, 11, 10, 11, 12, 12. Like, so if I say 12 personnel, that's two tight ends. One personnel, one tight end, one back, one tight end. So you take how many backs, and the tight end number is next. So when I say 20, that means there's no tight end in. If I say 10, no tight end is in because the tight end number is the second number. A lot of times we're going trips. A lot of times we're going bunch. We got two backs in the backfield. Even though we say two tight ends, one of the tight ends is the running back. Because I want to make sure you guys, if I just say we got two running backs in the backfield, you're going to think that it's actually two running backs. But I got to tell you, no, one of them's a tight end. So I'm going to just say it's 12 personnel, but they were in the backfield because that's a variation. That's showing you that Des Kitchens is not just doing the same thing, right? The play calling, he builds off of each other. He runs counter off of a lot of the actions. They showed that. Now, a defense will start to bow up, start to adjust their coverage, adjust their fronts, and they will get some stops, right? That's just football. Or a player may not execute. You have holding penalties. You have offsides. You have a guy drop a ball. You have a guy run the wrong route. And a lot of times we won't really include that when we're discussing situations because that context can hurt our stance when we really just want to blame somebody. We'll just say, it's not working. This game, I really feel like our offense had their best showing. It's even better. Like now it won't as many big plays versus JMU, but I just feel like up front they blocked better than like one of the sacks Calandria took that really hurt us. He shouldn't have took that. He should have thrown it away. He should have thrown that ball away. But we're running bubble screens, sprint outs. We're running bunch sets. We ran tunnel screen in the boundary. We ran a QB zone read. We ran a QB draw. On like 3rd and 16, and it was there, and he tripped. But we end up getting the first down because it got illegal hands to the face, so it was automatic first down. But QB dash pass that I got in my notes, inside power, seam route that we completed, dig switch we ran on the outside. Like these are things that I don't know, man. I want to give a shout out to Twitty because he did some young. Receivers don't know that even Calandria as a young quarterback has to identify when a receiver is telling you I'm open by throttling down. So it was play 44. It was in 12 personnel. And Twitty was, let me go to the place so I can explain to y'all what it was. I think Twitty was the X. He was by himself. Let's pull it up right quick. So Twitty, so we actually got three receivers. So we are in 12 personnel. No, we're in 11. Why did I put 12 personnel? No, we are. We're in 12 personnel. We got both receivers to the field. Sackett is the H to the field. So that means Twitty's on the line of scrimmage. You got Wood in the slot. If I run it here. So, we just run in flat and go. Wood is giving you a stutter flat, and then Twitty's giving you a go route. With this, we're anticipating that they are in short zone, and they did run short zone. So, this is third quarter. Let me make sure I give you the time right, letting you know. So, this is the 8-12 mark in the third quarter. So, this is Des Kitchen. Paying attention to Tennessee. He's saying that we're going to run this because I think they're going to be in some type of short zone. And we hit the call. We hit the call. Twitty takes the outside release. Their corner takes the bait and is peeking and waiting for Wood to run this out because he want to pick. The safety is kind of left out to dry, but the safety has a very deep. He's deep. He's like 15. He is. How many yards off the ball is he? He pretty much, he back there. 5, 10, 15. He's 16, 17 yards deep. So the safety is 17 yards deep. This is why I said Twitty is smart. Twitty is identifying that the safety is 17 yards deep. He's seeing that the corner slow playing, and now the corner's inside of him. He's identified it's short zone. It's cover two. What does he do as a smart young receiver? He throttles down in the dead zone. Like, throw it now. Because the safety's 17 yards deep. He's going to meet me at the interception point. I'm not going to keep running up the field. I'm running right into him. I'm going to throttle down. Put it on me. He's saying, put it on me. And Calandria leads him up the field. Now, this is when a quarterback, like Calandria, has to identify where the safety is at. I know he sees the corner, but he has to see pre-snap that safety 17 yards deep. And if he see that corner is cheating, indication of deep half, put it on him. And I'm pretty sure they told him that. Ain't no way they telling Twitty you got to keep running right here. That's a pick. If Twitty's running full speed and Calandria really try to hit him, that's a pick. And it's a good thing Twitty actually almost collision the safety, because once the safety peaked where he was at, he lost track of the ball, and then the ball went out of bounds. I mean, it was high enough. At least Calandria threw it high enough that it was just for Twitty. But if he would have really put it on a rope, Twitty could have caught it and probably cut inside of that safety. I wanted to point that out. But I wanted to point that out because that's late in the third quarter. That's understanding the tendencies of the defense, drawing up a play that you hit that goes incomplete. And people may not understand what takes place, but looking at the film, I'm like, oh, man, that's a good play. And that's a young receiver showing he's smart. So salute to Twitty on that one right there. I do want to get into the last drive we had, which was basically the last meaningful drive, which was that. Do I want to go into the red zone with it? Yeah, I'm going to just start. So the last drive we had, which started with like 2 minutes left in the third, went 10 personnel, got trips to the field, run seams. Calandria does a good job getting out of the pocket, slides, gets the target in. And then we see the end zone copy. Let's see. So they run a game. We pick it up. Last week, the last 2 weeks, we wanted to pick this up. They ran a game. They ran a D. They ran their D tackle. So they ran a three technique game. So they got the three technique running towards Nana. The end is outside, and he loops in to tie. 2 weeks ago, we would have missed this. That would have been a Calandria getting hit in the mouth. We picked it up. Ty does a good thing. So the path of the DN, he just goes with him. He just watches him. Calandria, great pocket presence. We use the game against them. It creates a big game. And Mike Holland goes out on a route that takes Barnham, the linebacker, and the only threat left. Calandria does a good job identifying the threat is gone. Makes a big play with his legs. He slides, get the targeting. That guy should have been kicked out the game. Did he get kicked out? I think he got kicked out. I don't know. Like I said, I ain't watched the TV cop. Maybe he did. Then we try to run a quick screen to the boundary. Whew, I give it to their safety, boy. When them boys came downhill, they came downhill. They were violent. Yep, this was a backup safety. Because they just kicked the other one out. Number 12, he came downhill right there. Good gracious. So run a quick screen right there. Second and 7. 11 personnel. Calandria again making a play with his legs. What covers? They was in man-to-man. They started going more man late in the game. No, it ends zone. It's running like cover 6. Yeah, so they're running 2 to the field. And quarters in the boundary. He had Sackett Wood open in the middle of the field. He felt a little pressure. He could have threw it to him. But then again, you know, AC's a little shorter, so sometimes he may not be able to see. But the offensive line does a phenomenal job of just washing everybody together. Very good job by the offensive line. They sent four. Ty, you know, you got beat on the initial swim, but you did a good job of retracing your step and just washing number seven down. And that opened up a big running lane for Calandria again. Third down. I can't, man. That offensive line grouping, they did good this week. Came front. We're 11 personnel again, got twins to the field. All our receiving threats are to the field. So our tight ends to the field with the three receivers, and then even our backs offset to the field. Run inside, fake zone to the boundary. Get some pressure. They hit the call right here. Ooh, they played press man. Yeah, they clamped us on this one. Look like we tried to run. I don't know what we tried to run. Because the corner got Gibson in the blender. Is he holding him? I know he got a good jam, but Gibson's still getting up the field, though. And they sent pressure, too. They came out of this play. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. They sent five, and they had two spies on Calandria. So he does a good job. Got the pocket. Threw it away. Good job, son. Threw it away. So they adjusted. Sent five. Had two spies on Calandria. Two of them. Two backers right there waiting on him. 11 personnel. Twins to the field. Nice play call. My man Harrison get a catch. Ooh, that boy shifty. I see you won. Just a nice little slant route. Bing, bing. He inside. You got to make him come off that spot. That's what you did, son. Good route. He inside leverage. Make him shuffle out and then hit that foot. Bing, get in there. Great throw. Yes, sir. That's what I like to see right there. Oh, you want to play man? That's what Dad said. You want to play man to bring pressure? Let me go ahead and make sure we balance everything out now. We got two receiving threats to the left, two receiving threats to the right, and we got the back. And we sending everybody out. Because my line been blocking, right? I ain't gotta keep the back or the tight end in now. Now we cooking with grease. Mm-hmm. Some confidence. Look at that. Yeah, one, that was a good route. That young boy going to be real good. He going to be real good. Mm-hmm. I see you, one. That was a route. Nice throw by AC. But that's why when your offensive line is protecting, as an offensive coordinator, you could do more things. So salute to the guys up front. Salute to y'all, man. Y'all been catching slugs all year. Whether it's on the X app, everything. Y'all perform like this, man. We could definitely win some games. I ain't lying. Now, this intentional grounding right here by Calandria on this next play. We got trips to the field. We ran shield. And Malachi's open. He feels some pressure. And you got to think, remember he took that bad sack. So now he's overcompensating to make sure he's getting the ball away. Again, I don't know if he can see or not, but it's a linebacker that comes on a delay blitz and he's free. Because our running back's doing the right thing. They checking the ends first. So when that linebacker saw Jones go try to help Sackett Wood versus the end, he triggers. Like, oh, he ain't going out. So he was a free rush because Calandria was about to hit Malachi. So here it's just one of two things. It's like, could Calandria have stood there and stood tall and got hit in the face and made that throw to Malachi? Or just go ahead and run away and live fight another day because you just never know if that hit going to hurt or not. And they got us for intentional grounding right there. So now second and 23. That was a nice play design by the defense too. That's delayed blitz. Motion to back out the backfield. Ah, we ran a little tunnel screen to Malik Washington. Ah, great individual play by that linebacker. God, dog. sometimes one dude could just blow up the whole play, and he did it. Very good play design. Dang. Good play by number nine. That's back-to-back plays he done made. Very good play by him. Very good play. Phenomenal play. So it's third and 23. Third and 23. Three receivers to the boundary. Three receivers to the field, one to the boundary. One of the receivers is a tight end, so we're 11 personnel. That's Sackett Wood. We got Malik to the. So we're seeing that they're playing soft zone. This was an indicator to me by just the play design that we were going to go for it on fourth down. We just wanted some pop. Either we were going to go for it or we was going to kick a long field goal. But I think we was going to go for it on fourth. But anyway, we run. We knew. So here's why I think we knew what coverage they would be in just by the play design. So down here, we got Wood running. Appears to be a dig, but he takes an inside release. Usually, if you're getting pressed, well, which he is, you will try to take an inside release. But what happens, since the slot DB is playing about 12, God, dog, he's playing like 12 yards off. Malik runs a hammer route, which is 5 yards. But Wood does a good job of getting vertical, not getting washed. He gets vertical, meaning once he's contacted by the corner, he immediately gets up the field. With him being able to get up the field, it creates a natural pit, and he ends up blocking the guy that's checking Malik. Now, that since they're in man, the dude that's checking Wood doesn't realize that Malik has the ball, is running up the field. So that's how we got the first down on that. Protection was phenomenal. Great protection. Four-man rush. Guy tries to dip up under Nana. He does a good job. He could have been called for a hold right there, but it won't no hold because they ain't throw no flag. But we get a third and 23 off a 5 yard route. How many times have people said, man, you got to know where the sticks at? Why would you run that short route before the stick? Sometimes, man, playmakers gonna make plays and you just never know what's gonna happen. I get when folks say it's third and whatever. Know where the yard mark is at and throw to the yard mark. But sometimes it's like, just get the ball to somebody and let them make a play. Now, if Malik Watson doesn't get this first down, right? Just say he's tackled 5 yards less. People destroying our office coordinator. They destroyed him. We know they destroyed him, man. But, yeah, man, that was a good play. So then we go in. I think that takes us to the fourth quarter. Yep, fourth quarter. It's one play I didn't like on this drive. So we got the short motion with Malik right now, 11 personnel, running dash. Ooh, that's a nice play. So we run tight end throwback. We run tight end throwback, and I get that you really want to get it to the tight end, but if AC just keeps his eyes to the field, Malik pops wide open. And again, this is because I'm rewinding it 30 times, but if you look at him, he is really adamant on getting that throwback, and Sackett is, he's covered. Like, that defender does a good job. Like, there's no real window to get it there. I wish he would have just came back to the field because Malik pops wide open for it. It would have been a touchdown. But again, I've been rewinding it 10, 12 times. So it's not a knock on AC. It's like in the perfect world. But we try to tight end throwback. I think somebody, did Georgia run that? Or somebody ran it against Georgia? Somebody ran that Saturday, I saw, and scored. Now, this next play, I'm not a fan of. I wish we didn't run this play on 2nd and 10. We tried to jet flip to Malik. We tried to run this because they were in man-to-man. But I just felt like this defense is too fast to run this play. And they would have destroyed him. So I'm glad he dropped the ball. This was one play I'd be like, dead. We didn't need that one. I felt like he was cooking. This one had you, I think the eye went out. Like the fire just went out right here. This is one play I know he wanted back. He did not need to run that. He did not need to run that play. So now we get the third down, which is the interception. It's a good idea. In theory, it definitely was a good idea. Because this is the last play I'm going to go over, because the interceptions and stuff, it was just bad throws. Nothing to say about that. I could get to the questions. We ran trips to the field. Sacket Wood is a slot. He runs a slant route. We got Gibson running a hitch route. We run a smash concept. That's all we run, a smash concept. We expect a man-to-man. We get man-to-man. Now get some pressure upfield. Calandria steps up. Now, here's my thing, Calandria. Here's my thing. I know you see it's man-to-man. You can run. You should just run this in. Even if you don't score, we get the first down. This is just youth right here, and Coach talked about this. This is things you live and you learn from. Because you showed me you could be aggressive already on third down and get it with your legs. This is where when they call people gunslingers and it shows itself. Because a gunslinger feel like they can make every throw. This throw is just too far. And that corner underneath, you just don't know if he's going to peel back or not. Because you have to throw this one on a rope. You can't really use touch because the corner does a good job of clamping that inside hip. And he's slingshotting himself because he has Malik's upfield shoulder. So he's in great position. This is where you just say, I'm climbing the pocket. I'm climbing the ladder in the pocket. It's man to man. Man to man should indicate because nobody's in the middle of the field. The linebacker went with Mike Hollins to the boundary. Number nine went with Mike Hollins. So they used their backer, number one, Barm, to play in and rush, and he gets pressure, but that takes you right to the field, which was their weakness. You could have ran this one in. If, like I said, if you wouldn't have got to the end zone, that's been a first down. So that's the last play I'm going to look at, because after that, the wheels just fell off. The quick throw he made to the boundary, the end made a hell of a play. And then the very next throw that he had for interception, he just forced it. And I like how Dez understood that he was a little rattled, and we ran some quarterback design plays when he ran the football and did some positive stuff. So I did some people on social media say, oh, you should take him out. Like, no, you keep learning. Like, that's how you learn. That's how you learn. Like, how will you respond? A man is not measured by the things he accomplished, but rather the things that he overcomes. So just because he might be struggling, no, I'm not taking him out. Keeping you in there. Because this might be a real-life situation where it's early in the game and you may throw a couple picks. It seems like in today's day of sports, we're so quick to just start over or get rid. We rid or restart. This ain't no video game. You can't just rage quit or concede. No, you got to finish it. But overall, man, you know, got to clean it up. I really feel like Dez did some very good things. If you left out this game, I'm just trying to be like respectful. If you looked at this game and you thought offensively Dez didn't do some good things and didn't adjust, like, because that's usually the theme. He just do the same stuff. We don't do nothing. Look, we tried to run the ball 30 times. We passed the ball 39 times. We tried to play complimentary football. We had 131 yards rushing before the sacks. Maryland had 139 yards rushing before the sacks. They lost 20 yards. We lost 40 yards. Because one of those sacks, well, one of those losses they gave to Malachi on that reverse. That reverse, we tried to play man-to-man, and that daggone corner cheated, man. They were in man-to-man. We ran double reverse, and that should pop. And shout out to that corner that played that play, man. That was the one guy. Like, when you run that play, that's the one guy that can blow it up. But if he ain't there, you can get a big game. And I'd be daggone if that dude won't dare, like, stay there. Oh, man, why we had to get corners who are tentative? Why we couldn't get lazy corners who just take a play off when they think it's a run play? But, yeah, man, again, I think Ty did a good job playing guard. Ty's been on a lot of heat, so you got to praise the young man when they do well. Calandria, heck of a job, bro. Heck of a job. Heck of a job. It's just last two games, if you could get back one throw, because one throw has changed the momentum for you. It's a time, like a stare down interception. You know? And that's growing pains. It is what it is, man. But this offense has been better this year. They've gotten better each game. Let's put it like that. Each and every game, this offense has gotten better. Now, am I right or am I wrong? If I'm wrong, let me know. I know you want to run the football. So if you want to run the football, even this game before the losses, they're over 130 yards before the sacks. Because the sacks take away and then Malachi's reverse take away. But that like you got to look for the small victories. I tell the students I work with, identify the small victories. Everything's not going to change drastically, but you got to celebrate the small victories. It's not a moral victory, it's just the truth. That's how steps are made on the way towards your goal. Like we get so caught up in the big picture that you got to look at the little things. And again, Tony Elliott is 3-10 as a head coach, and people are saying he need to go. This and that. Bronco with it. Everybody, I'll give y'all this. Bronco was what? 3-10 after his first 13 games. And people's asking for him to get up out of here too. But, you know, I ain't saying he Bronco. I ain't saying his success going to be Bronco's success. But a lot of times we do compare, and we compare when it's convenient. We really do. We compare when it's convenient. And when somebody gives you pushback on your comparison, then you claim that their rebuttal and their data is excuses. It's not an excuse. It's combating what you're saying and having you really assess the situation thoroughly and then be like, all right, I'm just pissed off right now. You got people comparing other sports. People say football is the ultimate team sport. Then you compare another sport that's not the ultimate team sport. Like, why would you compare basketball to football? You got less guys. You got guys who play offense and defense that can really play a fact. Like, come on, man. We got to stop. We really got to stop doing it, especially on social media against, like, tearing folks. Like, I don't get it, man. I get it. I do get it. I ain't going to lie. I get it. It's easy. So, Let me get to the question segment. We've been, what's this, almost 90 minutes. I told y'all this is going to be a long podcast, but stay with me because I want to be respectful of y'all time. If you don't want to hear the questions, you could just stop it now. Let's see. Oh, it wasn't that many. Let me see. Do you think we can play man on the outside rather than playing an off zone or even off man, giving up 7 to 8 yards of space? I don't know if our skill set, what we have at corner, again, it's not a knock on the guys. If those guys can consistently play. Well, and I think you mean press coverage. So press coverage require patience at the line of scrimmage, the ability to shuffle, and then open at a 45-degree angle. And you got to have some type of top-end speed. Now, you don't, like, if you're very patient at the line of scrimmage and you can remain square, shoot the appropriate hand, and understand angles, you could get away with playing press. Now, if we want to generate some pressure, we're going to have to incorporate some type of press coverage on the outside, and guys are going to have to know, hey, we're not giving up these routes. So I do agree, like, if we want to generate pressure, we got to get aggressive on the outside. Like, guys on the outside are really going to have to really hone in and understand we're going to get aggressive because we got to generate a turnover. We're going to play 3 games. We have not generated a single turnover. That was a luxury we had last year. We generated turnovers. The corners we had last year were all ACC guys, so it's not asking these guys to be world beaters, but, you know, you identify, like, you pay attention, like, oh, that's because everybody understood we got our defensive line back. Safeties were still here. Nick Jackson left at linebacker, who's at Iowa. Shout out to Nick Jackson, man. He had a solid game for Iowa. I think he had like 10 tackles, a sack, and a tackle for loss. Salute to Nick. I feel like Bracy, Ahern, Jackson, and then Cam, like those guys are servable guys. I don't feel like it's a huge, like Nick was special. So it's a drop off in that position because of him, but it's not a big drop off as it, I feel like it is in the secondary. And those guys were first team all ACC. Nick was like an all ACC performer himself. So you had to replace two versus one in a sense. So I feel like we can't play some off man. I really feel like our corners got to identify their leverage. Like if you outside leverage, a speed out should not beat you. So if I'm playing off man and it's a tight X and I'm outside leverage and I'm playing open, meaning my butt's to the sideline, a speed out should not beat me. My foot, I should be prepared to drive on any outcuts. If you're going to beat me, you're going to beat me on a speed dig, some type of end cut. I'm going to just rally. So that's what I want to say to the guys. Understand your leverage and play to the leverage. If somebody beats you, they're not beating you to your leverage. And it happens because with Uno caught the little quick slant from the slot, he knew what to do. Guy was inside leverage. He gave him outside stem to his shoulder, made him shuffle because he got up on his toes. Made him shuffle out. And as soon as he shuffled out, boom, he hit inside of him. He made him move off the spot. I've seen receivers not even make y'all move off y'all spot and still get to your leverage. That ain't acceptable, in my opinion. So, and y'all can write that ship easy. That's easy to me. Because I got that much confidence. I was bragging about y'all. Coming into the season, my man Henry Coley had to serve me some juice. He was like, yo, what the corners look like? I was like, man, they struggle. He's like, nah. I remember you was all high on them, saying it won't be no drop off like that. So he got me. You know, I get served juice too. Shout out to my dog Henry Cole. In which areas do you see the most improvement? Yesterday, the offensive line, biggest improvement by far. Offensive line. And I don't want to call out y'all Twitter handles, because I don't know if y'all want to be singled out, but the offensive line improved the most this past game. My question is, as an athlete, nobody wants to lose. What do you think is the best way to get your mind right to not put too much pressure on yourself? Oh, that's a great question. So as you start to lose and you're not successful, you will start to press and you will start to cheat because you want that instant gratification. In anything, you got to stay the course. You got to embrace the storms and understand when you're going through a storm, your foundation got to be right, whether it's your spiritual foundation, and especially your work foundation. So if you're an athlete, you got to make sure your tools are staying sharp. Stance and starts, the little things, looking the ball in when you're catching the ball. Like if you got a drop, you go to that jugs machine and you get to the essence of catching the football. Stand relaxed, visualizing, focusing in. You got to be mentally tough to play this game because there's a lot of outside noise that's going to question everything you do when you aren't successful. And that's fine. That comes with it. Nobody's taking that away from somebody's right to hold you accountable. See, some people look at accountability as getting on you and criticizing you. Some, trying to hold you accountable. Accountability comes with helpful solutions. That's what constructive criticism is. You have criticism with people that are just talking bad about you because they're mad and they say they're just keeping it real and they're just telling their truth. But then you have folks who give you constructive criticism that'll tell you what you're doing wrong and say, and on the flip side, I feel like you need to do X, Y, and Z. So you got to be able to differentiate the two. So you got to have that mindset. Maybe you could address the lack of accuracy on deep balls. QB got to give the receivers a chance to make the play. Better rushing attack this week, but still lacking for sure. Pass pro much better. AC needs to make decisions faster to run, in my opinion. That's a good question and assessment. I think that was the one thing that separated Tony and AC was the deep ball accuracy. Tony's a better deep ball thrower. He's accurate throwing the deep ball. You saw that in the spring game. You remember when Tony threw the deep ball to JR? That was a dime. That was a dot. Not saying AC can't do it, but that's what Tony is better at. Just like AC is better at tucking in and running compared to Tony, because AC's willing to run, while Tony's going to really stand in there and try to identify the hot or his last option. If you could add one player to the offense, defense, and special teams from past UVA teams, who would it be? Can't include yourself. Oh, man. So, let's see. So, going off our needs, right? All right, so going off our needs this year, I'm going off needs, not like the best player of all time. So I want to make sure that's put out there. So if I look at our offense this year and our need, I would add John Sinclair to the offensive line. Either John Sinclair or Ray Robbins. So do we need a tackle or do we need a center? So, but see, like Ray told me, when it comes to the line, you need more than one. So maybe I won't add an offensive lineman. I like our receivers. Would I add like Herman on the outside? I probably would add Herman. Yeah, I would probably add Herman to this team. I feel like you just throw it up down. Cause Ray, if Ray wouldn't have really schooled me on how the offensive line operates, how you need a room versus one guy, but you know, maybe I just go in my gut and just say a lineman, either Johnson, Clay, or Ray Roberts. But if I had to pick a skill guy, I would probably pick Herman, because I feel like you could do more with him. If you feel like your offensive line is struggling, you're not going. I feel like our backs are good enough. Like if you bring in Thomas, well, Thomas could make 11 people miss in a phone booth, so. I don't know, man. It's just so many people. Can you speak to the roster development as a process realistic to UVA given academics, and also talk about how much of the falling apart at the end of games is attributed to the lack of depth versus coaching? Yeah, so the depth can play as far as conditioning, whether it's physical or mental. You really know how good you are when you perform in the fourth quarter. Like, good teams, that's when they perform at its best, in the fourth quarter. They could finish. That's how you know if you're truly good or not. If you look at our past coaching regimes and look at their teams that were good, they finished. They really, like, they would play well during the games, but in the fourth is when they really, like, in those turning point moments, that's when, like, last week, that's a losing type of, that's not a losing mentality, but that's like the loser's theme right there. Come out flat when you need to really lock in. Like, you saw two cultures. You saw a team that was in a coach that used to win in the past couple of years versus a team in a transition of trying to get back to that mentality with JMU. Then you see Maryland, who didn't panic when they got down 14-0 or that they were close in a close game with UVA, because they've been through that and they've been winning. Like, they beat Charlotte. They were down 14-0. They came back. They did the same exact thing. There was no panic. They won't stay the course. It could be close. They didn't mind, because in their minds, they felt like, hey, it's going to click for us. When you've been losing, you got that, here we go again, or wait for it. You got to get that. That's the last hurdle you got to get out. You got to mentally be great in that mindset. As much as folks talk about our tech comeback, like in that locker room, nobody thought we was going to lose. They was like, yo, we just ain't doing this. We're going to beat them. Watch. It was never a doubt. And I feel like sometimes doubt may creep in. May. Because I'm not in their minds and not in the locker room a lot with them. But it may creep in. You just got to fix that mentality. Outside of Calandria, what are some bright spots for the future that can hopefully turn things around? Receiver position. You haven't seen him yet. Harrison can't make a catch, but like Jaden Gibson hasn't made a catch yet. But those are two young receivers that could do well. I talked about Dre at corner that got some burn late. Think he can be a good corner here as well. Cam at linebacker. You know, he's a bright spot in my opinion. That's getting reps and getting burned right now. So that's just to name a few. So Hopefully y'all enjoyed this podcast, man. That was, what, 94 minutes, 95 minutes. Appreciate y'all for just always supporting not only myself but the program. Stay the course. You ain't got to fight each other. You know, you got discussions with each other. And that's it, man. Ball Hawk Show. We out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.